right, all right, all right. What is going on? We are about to get this thing started. All right, so quick test, guys. Let me know if you can hear me. And then we're going to hop right into this bad boy. All right, so I'm going to take it. I'm going to assume I can be heard. And we're just going to kick it off, man. All right, so welcome to another Be More Training. As you guys know, this is something that Ruben puts on. We have always had some great guests here. Stand by. He's saying it starts at 9:30. Let's do this. Okay, Scott says he can hear me. All right, too easy, man. Too easy. Okay. For whatever reason, Ruben said it started at 9:30, but that's not what we had down. So we're going to go ahead and kick this thing off anyways, and we're going to keep rolling. All right, so today we're going to be talking about business finances. Business finances is a huge thing, right? So what I mean by that is how many of us have been out there, we started our business, right? And it's starting to take off. Now we're doing deal after deal. We may get a big commission check. We may get a big sale, a high ticket client. And you know, we'll see something astronomical come into the bank account, $50,000 or $100,000, $200,000. It'll come into our bank account. And we think that we just made $200,000, right? We think like, man, we're really growing and we're really scaling. Now we fast forward, it's time to file taxes. We get our books cleaned up, and all of a sudden we realize that for the year, yo, I may have on paper made $200,000, but for tax purposes, I lost $50,000 this year. How the hell does that even happen? You know what I mean? And this happens more often than you might think. Now, all of us should want to know exactly what we need to do in our businesses in order for us to be more profitable. Now, think about having that superpower, right? Being able to say, no, I know exactly what I need to focus on. I know exactly who I need to hire or fire in order to make more money and put more money in our pockets, right? That's what we're going to be discussing today. And it's important to understand that because these are small problems within our business that we're looking to solve. Now, as business owners, would we all agree? Let me know in the chat. Would we all agree that we solve problems? That's the very nature of what we do as business owners. Well, let's think about it. Now, sometimes the problems was for us. Maybe we wanted more money. Maybe we wanted more autonomy with what we do. Maybe we wanted more time freedom so we can spend time with who we want, when we want, and all that good stuff. And maybe, right, maybe we got so good at solving other problems that we started to sell it as a product or a service to other people. Henceforth, that's why the business was created, right? So we're problem solvers. So how do we identify the problems in our own business? So Elon Musk says that we get paid in direct proportion to the problem that we solve. How many of you would agree with that? Right? What's up, Jalen? What's going on, man? How many of you would agree with the fact that we get paid in direct proportion to the size of the problem that we solve? That's a powerful statement. So when I hear that, it always reminds me of something that my old professor of mine used to tell me, right? It was a story. He'd tell the whole class, but he said there was once a village that was going through an astronomical drought. Right. And I mean, this was bad. This was once in a lifetime style drought. It got so bad that the village elder called everybody in and said, hey, look, we need water. So for anybody who brings us water, we'll pay you 25 cents a gallon. Right. And at that time, that's a pretty good chunk of change. So, you know, a lot of people was like, man, I don't know if, you know, I don't want to do the work. But two people saw a business opportunity in it. One of them stood up right away. Hey, I got it. You know, he grabbed his pails, his buckets, his wheelbarrows, whatever he could, and he walks miles over hills, rocky terrain, everything to get to the only source of water, which was this huge lake. All right. And so he filled it all up. He ran back to the village, dropped it off, got paid. He went back out there, filled it up, dropped it off, got paid. And, you know, he started making a legit business out of it, working hard, 10, 14 hour days. The other one, on the other hand, she stood up. She said, hey, I got it too, but give me 6 months before I can deliver this water to the village. And so she took that same route as the other guy did. over the hills and over the rough terrain. But instead of carrying stuff with her, she started to evaluate the slopes of the terrain, the drainage, how dry was the land. Then she went back, got some people, hired them to go and dig out a trench. Then she went back and hired more people to build out a pipeline to funnel water all the way from the lake down to the village. 6 months later, the first guy, he's still making money, grinding, sweating, you know, back is sore, but he's still doing what he has to do. And then the other one, the lady, she just turned on the water faucet and boom, right? She supplied the village with endless amounts of water and she got paid. Although she did a lot of work up front, she started to get paid almost automatically. Now, both of them made a lot of money, but can we all agree that one probably worked smarter than the other one? Right? Let's think about that. You work for 6 months, now your work is limited for the rest of your lifetime, or you grind day in and day out all forever, right? Until you start to really start to see some money come in, or you made enough to retire. Now, as entrepreneurs, we typically want to work smarter, not harder, so we can see where there'd be a benefit in treating it like the lady did during that situation. Most of us find ourselves in a situation where we are working nonstop in our business, day in, day out, grinding. But instead, we need to treat it like a business and learn how to automate our systems, learn how to automate our goals, automate our way that we manage our money. So when we think about that, guys, sometimes the problem is big, like that drought. Sometimes it's glaring. We know exactly what we need to do. Man, you know what? I got a whole bunch of people that are interested, but I can't service them all. I can't get all these people on the phone to sell them my product or my service. So you know what I need? I need salespeople. It's a bit, it's glaring, right? It's right in front of us. Sometimes it's not as big as that drought is. So if we're the village elder in this situation, how do we find those small different problems, guys? And how we're going to do that is through our finances. 99% of our finances can be found in our, 99% of our problems can be found in our finances. All right. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to pull up a small slide deck as we kind of continue through this. And it's not going to be, you know, we're not going to go too deep into the entire slide deck, but there's definitely some good information in there that I want to be able to share as well. So I'm going to pull all this up. So if we know that 99% of our problems can be found in our finances, this is what we need to focus on. We need to focus on how can we use our finances, our financial statements, the daunting P&L and balance sheet to really start to run and function our business. Okay. Now, to be fair, talking about money is taboo. Let's be honest. I mean, it can be a hard conversation to have. Oftentimes as entrepreneurs, you know what, when we're hanging around with killers and hustlers and they're really grinding and they're accelerating, sometimes we can feel like we need to be at a certain level. And so if we're not, it might be embarrassing. We might feel a little bit of shame, right? And here to tell you guys that we have to step out away from that mindset. We all are running our own races, but we have to be able to look at our business finances and everything else about our business objectively, right? Try to separate the emotion as much as possible and start making good, logical, and ethical decisions, right? And this is how we're going to do that in finance. So we're going to be talking about money here. Just be prepared. You may not like what you hear, but it's probably because it's the truth. All right. So when we think about strong finances, guys, what can strong finances provide for us? Now, strong finances can provide us with clarity, right? Let me see if I can actually get this screen share. Okay, we'll do it that way. There is a way to share a slide deck too, which is pretty cool. Okay, but here we go. All right, boom. So you guys can see this here. So strong finances, guys, are going to provide us with clarity. All right, which is extremely important. Clarity, think of it as a superpower. Like imagine being Superman and we can see all the way miles ahead of the game. Imagine how you would feel if you can just see, you know, miles ahead of where you were driving or what you were doing. You'd be more prepared. For all my military folks, man, if we could see that far, we wouldn't need scopes. You know what I'm saying? We wouldn't need the forward unit. We could just sit there and all of us walk together and we can clear a path. Think about how powerful it'll be, how good and confident you would feel as a business owner if you can see into the future and you knew what was coming before it came, right? Well, strong financials can give you that clarity. And we're going to talk about that a little bit, but it can forecast the future for you. It can tell you the exact path that you walked. And oftentimes, we don't spend enough time on this as small business owners. All right. The next one is credibility. All of us want something in life, right? We all want something. Now imagine your business may need some more money. All the real estate investors out there, you know, we always are looking for more money, more money, more money, so we can do more deals, right? Maybe it's more deals we need. Maybe it's more clients. Maybe it's not whatever. Well, when we have credibility, now this is us saying, hey, look, man, we are a legit business. You can trust what we're doing because not only am I talking a good game on YouTube or LinkedIn or wherever, I'm also showing you my finances to show you that this is legit. This is real. I know how to operate what I'm doing here. And the last one here is cash out, guys. How many of you would love to be able to sell your business at some point in time, right? Now, many of us may not actually want to sell. We may just say, no, I'm not going to sell my business. I want to run this. I want to operate it forever. Maybe I want to hand it down, you know, to my children. But what if your children don't want it? What if your children doesn't want it? What if your spouse doesn't want it? What is it? What if your whole idea of what you want your business to do doesn't play out, right? It doesn't come to fruition. So if that's the case, what are you going to do? Wouldn't you like to have the option at least to sell? And by sell, I don't necessarily mean to another operator, right? Maybe you build up this business good enough. You've scaled it. You have the credibility. Maybe you go public with the business. Maybe you're the next Facebook, right? Maybe you're the next Sam Zell, right? With real estate. Maybe you want to sell your portfolio to a REIT, right? All of these things are possible when we have strong financials in place. All right. So what we're going to be talking about today, guys, is all of this and the above. For those of you who don't know, at the highest, I owned 134 rental units. I've recently sold over half. All right. Now, here's the kicker, guys. When I had 134 rental units, my net profit margin at the time was roughly 12%. So what does that mean? Net profit margin essentially just means, hey, look, for every dollar I made, I was able to keep 12 cents. All right. That's pretty good. I'm going to write net profit margin in the chat here. All right. For every dollar I made, I was able to keep 12 cents, which is not bad. However, I sold over half my portfolio and my net profit margin went all the way up from 12% or 12 cents up to 30%, which means it more than doubled. All right. Matter of fact, the growth was 152% growth from 134 to when I sold over half of my portfolio. So how many of you would like to learn how to do less and make more money? Think about that. I got less doors to worry about now. Right? Less doors to worry about, less headache, less people to manage, and I'm keeping more of my money. Think about how powerful that is, guys. All right, so how we're going to do it is real easy, guys. There's four steps to getting real control on your finances. All right. Four steps. I'm going to go ahead and share the screen here. These are the four steps. All right, guys. The first one we just talked about is clarity. We got to have some clarity. All right. We're going to dive into clarity a little bit. The second one is structure. We have to structure how we manage and operate our finances. We have to actually have a structure to this. Just like we do with everything else in our business, we got to have a structure to our finances. The third one's financial strategy. All right, this is something else that we're going to touch on because it's many people think financial strategy is like, yo, how do I make more money? There's a lot more to this that maybe we're not aware of. And then we have maximizing your efficiency. This is how we scale. This is how we scale. All right, so we're going to cover all of these right now. Now, Ruben says that we were supposed to start at 9:30 is what he put in the chat here, if y'all see that. But in reality, when Ruben and I talked last time, he said 9 and I had it in the calendar at 9. And I got proof of that. So shame on you, Ruben. Shame on you. All right. But it's all good, guys. We're still here. You guys can always come back and get this recording. All right. And then we're going to keep it. We're going to keep it prompt to this hour here, guys, just FYI, because I do have a 10 o'clock that I have to be able to. So it's better that I started early. Right. More value for you guys. More value for you guys. All right. Anyway. OK, guys. So those are the four steps. All right. So this can be a lot of information. It can be kind of daunting when we think about finances. It's like, yo, finance, financial terms. Sometimes we don't want to hear all these weird acronyms and names and everything else. So it can be a lot of information. Let's be fair, right? Can we all agree that in the next hour or literally next 35, 40 minutes, there's no way I can teach you guys everything about business finances. But the overall objective is that you guys walk away with something useful, something impactful that you can put use in your business today. And I understand that some of you may just be starting your journey. Some of you may be well into your journey and you're like, you know what? Maybe I can use this in the future or I can use it right now. The goal is that everyone leaves here with something. So I also have a free course that I'm going to be sharing with you at the end of this lesson, whatever you want to call it, my time, right? It's free, absolutely free. But these are things where you can go into your business right now today and save thousands of dollars in your business. And you can do it every single year. And the course is less than an hour long. So if you guys want to see that, put a little thumbs up in the chat and I'll be sure to add it in there. And you guys can grab it at the end. We'll pop the link in. You guys will be good to go. All right. So let's go ahead and keep kicking it. All right. Let's go on a journey here, y'all. We're talking about clarity. Let's really think about what that means. Imagine we are in a field, a forest, all by ourselves. The only thing we have with us is a magnetic compass and a paper map. That's it. Now, we have to find our way several miles away. We have to find our way to a specific point, and we have to get there at a specific time. If we don't make it there on time, whoever's there to pick us up is going to leave, and they're never coming back. How stressful would that situation make you feel? How stressful would that make you feel? Think about it. Now, on my military folks, we kind of know what that's like, right? It's an exercise called land navigation. And they literally put us in the middle of the woods. They give us a magnetic compass and a paper map. And we were responsible for finding ourselves to a certain point, right? So, okay, we get out there, we're doing it. And I mean, I've personally done this exercise probably over 100 times now, whether it was just myself doing it or as an instructor. And for the most part, I say about 95% of the soldiers or the people that are participating can find their way out, right? Because we do train them. We do train them before we send out, or we get trained before we go out. But there's always that 5%, always that 5% that can't make it back. Now, sometimes they're just a little late. They're a little slow to get there. When other times they are way off the mark, right? They just get straight up lost. And I remember one time specifically, a guy got lost. I was an instructor at the time. So boom, all of a sudden time's up. We wait a little bit, boom, nothing. Okay, cool. Instructors. Now we go scan the area, see if we can find him. We couldn't find him. Couldn't find the dude. So we end up, you know, looking around. Now it's way past the time. We go to all the boundaries, right? For boundaries, guys, you know, these are big items, roads, lakes, things like that. We go to all these boundaries. And we're searching for him. We can't find him. All of a sudden, we get a call, and they say, "Hey, you looking for Private Pies? You know, Private such and such." Yeah, man. We're looking for him. Where's he at? Oh, he's with me over here at the 7-Eleven. And the 7-Eleven was miles down the road. And now all of us stand. How the hell did you walk your ass past the highway and through all this other stuff to make it to the 7 and then call me? You know what I mean? Like, why didn't you stop at the first place to give us a call? He went all the way to 7-Eleven. So, I mean, some people were way off. Anyway, that was a little bit of a tie right there. But some people are way off the map. Now, it doesn't matter if they're all the way at the 7-Eleven or the Piggly Wiggly, or if they're literally just, you know, 8 trees away, right? And they just couldn't find their spot. Every single person couldn't answer one single question when we asked them. Why were you lost? Da, 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 da. They couldn't answer one single question. And that question was, where are you right now? Where are you right now? All right. When we think about this, if you don't know where you are now, there's no way that you can actually map it out and plan it, right? We can't say, oh, well, we actually need to go a mile in this direction before we hit this road and then we take a left, right? We can't do that if we don't know where we are now. So the question I propose to all of you, where are you right now in your business with your finances? Where are you, right? If we don't know those things, how can we do? How can we get what we need? So when we're thinking about clarity, there's two things that we really need to garnish understanding with. All right. Two things. It's really simple. Where are you and where do you want to go? Now, yes, that may sound simple, but again, this is it. This is the piece de la resistance. If we don't know where we are to a perfect degree, we can't map out a strategy to get here, guys. Or hey, we want $1 million in profit. We can't do it. Okay. So we have to garner understanding on these two things. Now, when we do this, right, we should be able to start making our statements relevant for us. All right. What do I mean by that? What do I mean by relevance for us? So let's look at it like a profit and loss sheet or a balance statement. Sometimes, again, when we look at these things, we kind of get the gist of it. We see some of the numbers. Most importantly, we know how to look at like the net incomes. Like, cool, that's what we made. Right. But there's a lot of big words or terms on there that, to be honest, man, if we didn't go to school for finance, if we don't have a background in this stuff, then it may not make the most immediate sense. The easiest one for me to kind of bring up as an example is like accounts receivable. Now, there's a whole bunch of rules around accounts receivable. And, you know, if I put it out there, most people would be like, you know what? I don't really know it. I kind of heard of it, but I don't know. I can't tell you exactly what it means. Right. And so if you can't tell me what accounts receivable means as the business owner, then why the hell is it on your financial statements? Think about that. Now, many people, when I ask that question, they'll be like, you know what? Well, because it's supposed to be on there. Says who? Why does it have to say accounts receivable? Do you know that every little line item that we have, like accounts receivable, account, whatever, you know that we can change the name on that? Absolutely. We can change the name on all of that. Right. So if we can change the name on it, why don't we change accounts receivable to something like money owed to me, money owed to my business? Right. It's the same thing. Accounts receivable, it means the same thing, but one is a lot easier for us to understand. Right. So that's what I mean by making the statements where you can understand. Go through those things and change the names. Change the names to make sure that you understand what they actually mean. So when you read it, you now have clarity. The accountant, the bookkeeper, don't worry about them. They understand what that stuff means too. They can go in and change the names up when they're ready to file the taxes for you and all that other good stuff. That's their job. They understand that. Okay. We can make it easier for them by matching accounts receivable and all this other stuff. But guys, you're already paying them a premium. You need to make sure that you make it easy for yourself to understand your finances. That's the biggest key there, all right? Now, once you have clear understanding on your finances and everything makes sense to you, clear books are going to tell you three major things that every single one of us want to know, all right? That is, how much do we make? How much money do we make? How much money do we spend? And most importantly, or arguably most importantly, how much do we keep? Now think about it, guys. A lot of times we spend a lot of energy on this make. We spend a lot of energy on how much we make. Think about it. For anybody who's been in your business, right, for more than a day, typically, when we say, man, we need more money, man, you know what? We're not hitting our goals this quarter, this year, this week. What do we need to do? Typically, the answer is we need to do more sales. We need to get more clients. We need more salespeople. We need a better marketing system. We need more conversion, right? Am I wrong? Typically, we spend too much time worrying about the make, all right? That's what everything's focused towards. That's where all the coaching and the gurus are focused towards the make. So that's what we're going to focus on. Now, spending, oftentimes, we don't spend enough time thinking about the spending. Everybody know what lifestyle creep is? You guys heard of lifestyle creep, right? Lifestyle creep is essentially saying, hey, look, you make more money. All of a sudden, I feel like I can spend more money. Now, that is a human characteristic. That's an instinct of us, right? It's actually kind of anchored in the Parkinson's law. If you guys haven't heard of that. So the Parkinson's law basically says, yo, if we got it, we're going to use it. And the best analogy that I can remember that was expressed to me was, if we ever drive down one of them small roads or small, you know, kind of highways, maybe it's a one lane highway or a two lane highway, and all of a sudden we really start hitting some bad traffic and all this other good stuff. And then, you know, hey, we're going to start building more highways, and they start expanding it. And now it's a two lane highway turns into a four. And then what happens when it's all complete? Still at 5 p.m., it's still jam packed, right? The lanes didn't help at all, right? Why? Because based on the Parkinson's law, if we got it, we're going to use it. And so if this is a natural human characteristic, a characteristic law was created around this, we have to be aware of our spending. We have to be able to control that, because if it can happen in life, it absolutely can happen in your business. And then last one there, guys, is keep. Let's be honest, man. When we're thinking about at the end of the day, as business owners, what do we want to know? How much money we kept. Be honest. Okay, yeah, you did $10 million in revenue this year. Great. That's a strong performing revenue. You got something. You know how to sell. You did $10 million in revenue, but you only kept $50,000 this year. I don't sound right, do it. Right? That don't sound right. Remember how I was just talking about, like, for example, my net profit margin? I made a dollar and then I was keeping 12 cents. That was strong. That was strong. But I make a dollar and now I keep 30 cents. We want to know the keep. We want to know after taxes, how much money do we have to spend on us? Right? How much money do we have to spend on charity? How much money do we have to spend towards things that matter to us? It's the keep. And so good, strong financials can show us those three things, which, guys, is going to change the entire approach to how we run and operate our business. Now, in addition to those three primary things, we can also say, hey, do we have effective marketing? You know, are we spending too much money on this ad versus this ad, right? Hey, better yet, when should I hire or fire somebody, right? We talked about that in the beginning too. And 9 times out of 10, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe you haven't experienced this, but I know a lot of people who have, and I have too. You get to the end of the year, you put a little money aside for taxes, and you're just like, woof, I have no idea what my tax bill is going to be. I'm just hoping I saved enough. I'm just hoping it's not going to be more than this, right? Well, how would it feel to know halfway through the year what your tax obligation is going to be? Pretty damn close, like a 99% accuracy. How would that feel? So now at the end of the year, you're not sweating. You're like, oh no, I got plenty of money saved up, right? Let's think about that. So if that's the case, I mean, strong financials can provide all of that for you, right? If we have a good, strong balance and we can forecast now, yeah, we're gonna have a pretty damn good idea what our tax is gonna be, all right? Which is extremely important. So now we have this clarity kind of filled out. This gives us that superpower now to start working smarter, not harder, right? Well, once we have this superpower of clear vision, now we really want to start to put in the structure and the optimization that we talked about, right? That second pillar there. And so when it comes to structure and optimization, let's think about this. How many of you believe, just give me a thumbs up, give me a hand, or just put yes in the comments or something. How many of you believe that humans prefer convenience and ease of things instead of complexity or things that are difficult? How many of you believe that? Oh, Ruben said he sent me a text. They says it started at 9:30. Yeah, I see the picture now. Oh, well, guys. Oh, well, if I had started at 9:30, we wouldn't have been able to get through all of this. All right. So, all right. But let's talk about it, right? Because humans instinctually want convenience, right? They want that easy button. And it's been more apparent than ever over these last couple of years. So last year, this is done by Inc. Magazine. This was in 2022. There was a study shown from the consumer side that says 83% of shoppers, 83, say convenience is a bigger priority now than it was just 5 years ago. Just 5 years ago. And convenience has been a thing. Remember, we had the dot-com thing back in 2000. That thing blew up. People loved it. Amazon was built off of that, off of convenience. I don't have to go to Barnes and Nobles anymore. I can order everything online. Now, everyone here pretty much got an Amazon account. If you don't have an Amazon account, if you don't have an Amazon account, you're a very rare individual. If you don't have an Amazon account, you most likely also have an Android. I'd put money on it, right? You're a rare individual. You're unique. Right? Because most people want that convenience. They want that ease. Right? So as we go through these, what do we need to do in order to build that convenience and that ease for us? So there's three things that we got to have when it comes to structure, guys. The structure basically boils down to one, our ability to track, okay? Our ability to control and our ability to manage our finances. So tracking, that's our bookkeeping. Right. When we talk about bookkeeping, that's the main piece of it there. Controlling is more of like a budget, right? When we think of control, immediately we're going to think of budget. And for budget, you know, it's not like when we hear the word diet and all of a sudden we're restricted to everything, right? That's not necessarily the case. What control means is just like within a diet, you know, a diet, you can eat a little bit of everything. You just can't eat everything on every day, and you can only, you know, eat a small portion of it. Same thing with budget. So if you said, hey, travel is important to me, or these luxuries of life are important to me, great. We can put that in the budget. We just have to control how we spend the money, how we use the money. When is the right time? When is the right season to invest in a new hire or invest in a new software program, right? We got to have that control. And then manage. So money management is another huge component of business operations. Oftentimes, when we think of accounting, we think of like a CPA, right? Somebody who handles just tax. And that's tax accounting. In the business operational world, we're looking at managerial accounting, saying, hey, how do we take all of these numbers and how do we improve our operating systems as a company? How do we become more efficient? So when we're looking at money management systems for us to choose for our business, you know, we can pick and choose from some of the best ones. A good one, for example, is the envelope method. Now, many of you may remember the envelope method. Some of you may not remember the envelope method, right? Maybe a little younger, but maybe you saw your grandma do it or something like that. The envelope method is, hey, look, man, I got an envelope here for groceries. Cool. I get my check, cash it out. I got $200 in my grocery envelope. I got an envelope for rent. Boom, cash it out. I got $500 in my rent envelope, right? And every single paycheck, you would divvy it up amongst those envelopes. That is a money management system. Now, if we wanted to modernize it today, we can do that with bank accounts. We can have a bank account for our rent. We can have a bank account for our salaries. We can have a bank account for whatever, right? So there's many different ways that we can implement these money management systems. Another one would be like zero-sum budgeting, where basically every single dollar has to go to work. So if I got a $100 paycheck, it comes into my account. My account hits zero because every single piece of it, whether it's savings, investment, spending, food, whatever, it's all kind of divvied out. And there are also many hybrid, right? And so these are just examples of different small business style money management things. There's also hybrid like Profit First. If you guys have not heard of Profit First, it is a great simplistic way to manage your money for small businesses. A ton of books were written about it. Profit First by Mike Michalowicz is the original. But there's several different variations of it as well. And there's also a Profit First for Real Estate Investing by David Richter as well that you guys can pick up. And that's a combination of the envelope, the zero sum, and a few other things that all come into play. Now, once we have that in place, right, a way to track, a way to control, and a way to manage our money, our structure is complete. But the key to success to all of this, right, especially when it comes to structure, is that we have to keep it simple. We have got to keep it simple because money management can be very complex, right? You can make it so complex where you say, hey, after every single paycheck, at the end of the day, we need to transfer money here, transfer money there. You can do that. Or a simpler method, we could say, hey, every 2 weeks, we transfer money. Or once a month, we transfer money. Right. And so that's just one variation of how we can keep it simple. But we have to make sure to keep it simple. Why? Because, guys, money management, yes, that's for us in the beginning as we're wearing the hat of everything. Right. If all of a sudden we start to bring in a bookkeeper in-house, we start to bring in a controller in-house, we start to bring in other positions, they have to manage that system too. So we want to make it simple so there's less room for error. There's less room for complexities and things we have to fix. Now we have the structure in place. Now we built this out. We've got our clarity. We got our superpower. We have the structure, right? So we're good there. Now we have the credibility around the structure. Now what do we need from here? So I'm going to run through this piece pretty quickly. And we talked about financial strategy. This is the protection. This is once the structure is in place, everything's running. We're building up that credibility now that we talked about. And now we need this overall arching protection. We need financial strategy. So when we think of financial strategy, many people think it's just income. Yo, financial strategy just means I need more money. What's my strategy to make more money and spend less money? In all reality, that's only one small piece, one small minor piece of financial strategy. Okay. So what does it all include? First off, if we look at the definition, guys, it's a combination of financial and strategic planning for the company as a whole. That's the key right there, as a whole. We're looking at every aspect of the company. So when we think of that, what we've been able to kind of find is that there's a 7 levels of financial strategy, all right? And these are the levels here. And again, we're gonna go through this kind of quickly, but so bear with me here. But one, it's our balancing of our goals, right? This is one in particular where we wanna make sure that our personal and our business goals are in line. A great example, I had a client, this was, you know, maybe 2 months ago or so, they gave me a call and they said, Mike, I'm pretty much ready to quit. I said, well, why is that? Well, it's because, you know, we were doing all this revenue, but as soon as they brought me on, I showed them that they had done 60 flip transactions and each transaction was bringing like $50,000 to $60,000 per flip. And once I actually gave them clarity, they realized that they had lost $90,000. That year that they did 60 flips, right? And so they were like, look, I just feel like we're on a downhill slope. Okay, well, what was your original reason for starting your business? We got to always remember that. They said, well, this is a means to an end. I'm just flipping so I can buy more investment properties, right? And so we can make this passive income in the future. And most of us can resonate with that, right? Most of us started a business so we can make money, throw it somewhere, and then, you know, live passively off our investments. Well, the issue with this was they got so caught up in the flips, they kept thinking, I need more flips. So how do I get more flips? They started doing subject to, wraparound mortgages, and all of these creative things just to get more flips done. And as they were making money, they weren't putting them into good cash flowing investments, right? So they allowed their personal goal to completely separate from their business goal and forced them to hit a wall. And some of you may have already felt that. And if you guys have not felt it yet as an entrepreneur, you will hit a wall at some point and be like, damn, you know, I really need to stop and think about what I'm doing here. And that's the importance of balancing goals with financial strategy, right? Now, to go through these other ones pretty quick, financing alternatives means anything outside of a traditional bank, all right? Financing alternatives can include, hey, maybe I'll have a whole life cash value policy that I can use the infinite banking concept with. I can pull out a couple $100,000 and use it for XYZ. Maybe it's, hey, I got a brokerage account with a whole bunch of stocks and bonds that I just want to use as collateral to get a loan out. Or maybe it's, hey, I have so much equity and assets. Let me get a line of credit against my equity so I can expand the business. Right? There's so many different ways that we can find financing. And so this is to make sure that we have a list of ongoing financing alternatives. So anytime we run into a capital crunch, we can just hit that list, right? We can just hit that list. So managing cost, this is not only the budget that we talked about, but this is also our cost per lead, our cost per acquisition, right? Our cost per mailer, our cost per whatever. We have to manage our costs throughout the entire company. Right. Managing liquidity, same thing. Sorry, guys. Managing liquidity is the same concept here where we're trying to make sure that we have cash. But check this out. When we say liquidity, liquidity is a cash or a cash equivalent, meaning something that can be liquidated real quick and turned around and used to pay off something quickly. Many people aren't aware of this, but a lot of people love high wealth and a lot of these corporations don't really keep that much in cash. Another alternative to cash would be a U.S. Treasury bill or a bond where you can sell it next day, same day, right? It's a loan essentially to the government. You can sell it next day, same day, but it actually gets you 4% interest instead of putting it in the bank where you get less than 0.01% interest, right? So if you're going to leave money somewhere for a rainy day anyway, wouldn't you rather get 4% than 0.0 whatever, right? That's a conversation for managing liquidity. Managing taxes. We already know about this, but there's a ton of different tax ways and strategies that we need to be aware of. We should also be doing quarterly tax strategy reviews with our CPAs, right? That's all part of managing taxes. Managing financial risk. Financial risk means, hey, what happens if I get sued? So financial risk, we're talking entity structuring now. The diagram for entity structuring. Making sure that that's right. Yo, do I have my LLC in the right place? Do I have this in the right place? Also, hey, do I have company insurance, not just property insurance for all my real estate investors? Also, what does my contract look like between my tenants, my employees, my 1099s, whatever it is? What does my contract look like? Is my contract there to protect me and protect others? So managing financial risk is a huge piece. And then succession planning essentially is saying what happens. Or who, put it like this, who is going to replace me when my time is up? Now, large corporations, I'm talking about these $1 trillion, $100 billion corporations, they're doing succession planning far into the future. They're taking their time. They're evaluating who they want. They're interviewing. They're training them about a year out. It's a big process, right? That's not going to be the case for all of us. However, we still want to know, hey, what's the characteristic traits? What's the experience? What kind of background would I prefer for somebody to come in and handle that position for me? And we have to remember, it's not just us. It's just not us as the CEO. Because when we start, we're the chief everything officer, right? We're doing everything. Then yeah, at a certain point, you're going to replace yourself doing this job, and this job. But once you have those positions filled, we have to do succession planning for them too. Because life happens. People might get sick, people might get married, people might move, people, you know, might have a child, whatever the case is. So what is our plan for everybody else in the company as well? All right. Now, all of this is in place. The last thing we need to do is maximize efficiency. Now, in order to maximize efficiency, I'm going to jump straight to the gun here. I'm just going to give you away the answer here. There's two simple things we have to do. We have to be able to identify a bottleneck, okay, and then adjust as needed. That's it. That's it. A bottleneck, guys, if we think of it in a funnel, right, if we have a funnel here, it starts out wide and it gets extremely narrow at the bottom. Well, let's say you threw one bead into the funnel. Okay, you know what's going to happen? It's going to go all the way through the pipe. Everything's good. But let's say we get 500 beads and try to drop them all in the funnel at the same time. Eventually, only one bead can pass through the funnel at a time, so it's probably going to be clogged. We might have to shake it out or do something in order to unclog it. That clog right there is the bottleneck. And so for us, we're always going to have a bottleneck in our business, always. A good example would be, and we didn't have a chance to go through it all, but imagine you're on an assembly line, okay? Let's just call them Hot Wheel cars, right? Let's say Hot Wheel cars. The first assembly station, you're making the mold of that car, right? Whatever the shape is. Okay, great. Well, you can do that 10, you can make 10 of those molds every hour. Now, the second station, that's where you're doing your paint, your custom design, all that good stuff. You can only paint 5 cars every hour. So if we watch that, those 10 come over, first hour's done, 5 get painted, move on. We still have 5 left, but you know what? The next hour comes and another 10 joins that 5 that was sitting there. Over time, you can quickly see that that can pile up tremendously. You may have 30 cars there at some point. That's the bottleneck. So what do? We adjust as needed, right? We figure out how can we paint more? And now all of a sudden we can paint 10 cars every hour. Bottleneck fixed. 10 hours, and we move on. But you know what's going to happen? Our efficiency is going to get better. And all of a sudden, first station is going to be able to handle 20 cars. So if the second station can only handle 10, we have another bottleneck. So we will always have bottlenecks. So we need to continue to adjust as we go through there. All right. Now, once we do that, that's how we're going to continue to maximize our efficiency. And the more we maximize our efficiency, the better position we will be to then cash out and sell our company down the road as we need it. Now, we think about all of these things, guys, and it's extremely important to know as a business owner. Oftentimes, we keep our nose to the grindstone. We're constantly turning. And so all of this is great information, not necessarily something that all of us can implement ourselves. Or we may not even have the time to address it and give it the attention that it really needs. Because we can make all the money in the world, but if we can't manage it, we can't keep it, right? So we know it's important, but we may not be able to actually get it all in, right? So what can we do? What can we do as entrepreneurs to help us out, to make this smarter, right? And not harder for us. So obviously bookkeeping, guys, I highly recommend bookkeeping in your business. But what bookkeeping does is for lack of a better word, it's data entry. It's going to collect all the data and make sure that the data is inputted into that spreadsheet or that system correctly. All right, that's good. But that's pretty much where it stops. Now from there, if you want to take all of this data and you want to get nice detailed reports to start to get some insight of what's going on in the company, then you can upgrade your bookkeeper to something called a controller, right? Or somebody else who has a little bit of a higher level. And they're great, but they pretty much stop at the reporting and a little bit of the insight. Now, if you want somebody that can basically take all of this information and help you provide strategy and help you provide guidance, control, and implement all these structures that we talked about, what you're looking for is a CFO or a chief financial officer. Right? That's what you're looking for. So when we think about that, we want to know, man, how much does it cost for us to bring in a full-time CFO into the company? Well, according to salary.com, here in the United States, the average salary of a CFO is $424,500 a year. Now, how many of us are ready to go ahead and go out there and hire them as a small business owner? We're going to hire a full-time CFO, right? Some of us are. A lot of us aren't, okay? And that's perfectly fine. So we want to know, though. We want to know, like, hey, how much is it going to cost for me to get this clarity? Now, here's the thing, guys. There's a solution. We don't need a full-time CFO. There is also something called a fractional CFO, okay? Fractional CFO does all of the same stuff, and they have the experience of a CFO. These are just independent contractors, right? Kind of like your CPA, right? And so you get all the benefits of it without having to pay the salary, the employee benefits, and the bonuses, right? Which is extremely useful. So when we think about that, let me see something here. You know, I'm going to try to get this URL going off for y'all because I need to get you guys a link here in a second too. But when we think about that, we know that a financial CFO, I'll stop sharing. A fractional CFO is a great alternative to what it is that we may need within the company. All right. And so it's extremely important that, let me see if I can get this thing, that we understand all of our options, plain and simple. There we go. Had to go about it a little bit differently, but I'm going to get you guys this link here. All right. Now, if a fractional CFO is something that you guys are interested in, you guys can always reach out to me and we can talk a little bit more about that. But more importantly, I want to make sure that all of you understand what your options are with a fractional CFO. And secondly, I want to make sure that everyone here leaves with something that can help them get that clarity, that credibility, and have that ability to cash out within their business. Okay. And so what I'm going to do here, guys, I'm dropping the link right now in the chat. As I mentioned, this is a free course here. Okay. This is an absolutely free course that I wanted to make sure you guys had access to. And during this course, this is what you guys are going to expect or what you can expect. Here we go. All right. So we're going to cover the first piece, which is learning how to use your home office reimbursement the correct way, right? How we can turn HVAC and lawn care into tax deductions. The second one is going to be your company budget. It comes with a spreadsheet to actually create a flexible budget that should be adjusting every quarter. And the third one is going to show you how to maximize the efficiency of your marketing dollars. Okay. So you're going to get access to all three of these lessons here, right? All for free, where you're able to save thousands of dollars by doing it, doing the same thing or doing basically nothing, right? Just being smarter with your decisions. And the power is that you can do it every single year. All right. So here's a QR code for anybody who's still watching it, but I did put it, the link down there below. So feel free to just download it and then just give me some feedback, guys. Let me know if it actually helped. Let me know if you guys found value in it, if you found benefit in it, and if there's other things like this that you guys are interested in. Yes, I do have other products and services outside of this that go into more deep knowledge. But as you guys are aware, I love to provide as much free value as I can. I want to make sure everybody can find some benefit out of the content, or the majority of people can find benefit out of the content that I'm sharing with you guys. Okay. All right. So we're here now at 9:55. I do have to step off to get to my next 10 o'clock. I appreciate those who have been with me since 9 o'clock, even though we're supposed to start at 9:30. And I hope that this was extremely valuable for you all. Remember, guys, as business owners, in order for us to make more impact into the world, more impact within our family, create more of the lifestyle that we want, it's important that we actually understand how we can be more profitable, how we can have more of that money to put into these areas that we care about in our life. And the only way that that can take place, the only way that that can happen, is by us taking control over our finances. All right. So appreciate all of you guys. I wish you a wonderful rest of the week. As always, we'll see you next time and have a great day.